The Economic Development and Housing Budget Division for Monday, February 23rd, 2009, will come to order. For those of you who are in the audience and listening, what I did was I sent a memo around to all the members of the Senate, letting them know that in regards to the economic stimulus package from the federal government, as well as the jobless economy that we're in right now, that I thought it would be a good idea for us to hear bonding bills that we would normally hear next year in regards to job creation and building that might become would be shovel ready for this year, so that we can actually listen to them and possibly put them in a bonding bill and get them funded this year. I don't know if that's a possibility, but it seems to me that if it is a possibility, we should be ready to go. And by hearing these bills already this year, if a bonding bill is possible and we do decide to do one, at least it can be considered for funding yet this year. And so essentially what we want to know is what the project is, where it is in its development, and how far it's ahead on its design and pre-design, if there is any of it, and whether or not it's actually ready for prime time this summer. And if it's not, let us know. If you're here today and don't think the project will be ready, that's fine, but at least let us know what's going on and how soon you think you can get the project into the ground, because we'd like to take advantage of any federal money that we might have, when it's possible that a state match could leverage some federal money here. I don't think we've exactly figured out where the federal money is going to go and how it's going to be spent and who's going to have priority to the money, but at least by having a presentation of these projects, we can be ready to go in case something does happen that allows us to tap into the funds or allows us to have our own bonding bill. So normally we wouldn't let Senator Quigley go first, but apparently somebody has to get back to Renville, and since I'm from the Iron Range and I know about people traveling long distances to come to these committees, I don't mind accommodating people who come from far away. So Senator Quigley, Senate File 408.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and I think the range delegation has a little further to travel than most of us do, but I appreciate your willingness to give Mr. McLaughlin from Renville a little leeway on that. He's with me here, seated to my right today, Mr. Chair, and one of his consultants is with him as well. So they know more about their projects than I do, but I do think, Mr. Chair, and you know, I've spent some time trying to find guidelines and rules for using the federal stimulus dollars, and there doesn't seem to be anything available. I did talk with Congressman Peterson's office, and they seem to feel that the Fed's intent is to give the states some latitude on that. So I'm hopeful, as you are, Mr. Chair, that we can fund some of these projects up front. So with that, I think I'll just turn it over to Mr. McLaughlin, and they can give you the lowdown on their project, and we'll move the agenda along today.
Okay. Welcome to the committee, Mr. McLaughlin. Say your name for the record, please.
My name is Paul McLaughlin. I'm the city administrator for the city of Renville, and going from here to Renville is about 110 miles, which is a little bit less of a distance than where I came from prior to getting to Renville. I've been the city administrator there for about 4.5 years. Prior to that, I was a member of the International Falls City Council for 16 years.
So you want Highway 53 fixed too, right?
Not now. You don't care anymore. Right now, I want 212 fixed.
12 sucks, I know that. Well, you know, what I can't figure out, Johnson was in the legislature for how many years and he never got Highway 12 fixed? What's that all about?
We're talking about 212, Mr. Chair.
Oh, 212. Okay, all right. Okay, Mr. McLaughlin, go ahead.
Thank you. Like I said, Renville's located about 110 miles.
Are you related to Peter?
No.
No? Okay. I wasn't going to hold that against you.
If it's going to get me my funding,
I wasn't going to hold that against you. You were or not. Okay, so go ahead.
Renville's about 110 miles west of here, and with a population of about 1,266. Our property tax breakdown in Renville is 48% residential, 27% commercial industrial, 15% ag, and 10% non-homestead. With a median household income of $37,000, Renville falls well below the statewide median average. And those two statistics of themselves makes it difficult for us to spread the cost associated with the upgrade of the wastewater facility plan. To my right is Tracy Eichel. She is a consulting engineer with Short Elliott Hendrickson. And, Mr. Chairman, as you alluded to, you wanted more of a construction readiness report, and Tracy can certainly give you that information. Primarily, I'm here for comedic value.
Tracy?
Tracy Eichel?
Is this ready to go?
The plans and specs will be completed this summer.
And?
And then it's just a matter of bidding it, and yes, it is ready to go.
Okay, so if you were awarded money on May 16th of this year, when would you be able to get this project into the ground?
August to September.
August to September.
2009.
Okay. Mr. Coleman, do you know about this project?
Mr. Chair, just recently, we do know if we get money from a variety of sources, they are eligible for, it's a TMDL-related project, I believe. It's phosphorus-related, so a clean water legacy component of the sales tax goes through. They'd be eligible for those funds. We do intend to use the federal stimulus dollars on a first-come, first-served basis when it comes to that 50% grant, try to get the money out to that in 120 days. So if they're ready to go at that time, we're going to kind of ignore the priority list and spend that money as fast as we can on projects that are ready to go. Well, there's opportunities there.
What do you mean ignore the priority list? Because
one of my projects might be on that priority list. We're not going to reserve money for like number one, number two, number three, going down the list. We're going to, if they bid it and get underway and they're eligible for the stimulus money, we're going to award it and spend that money.
So is the contract. I see this money is for design. And so do you have the design done already, or you have pre-design done?
We have pre-design done.
Pre-design. And so you would need money for design. And how long would the design take?
We would have plans and specifications completed, like I mentioned, in that summer time frame, July 2009.
Okay. All right. Okay. Does anybody have any questions of this? Anybody on the committee? Any other comments? Maybe I should have some information about how urgent this is.
Well, from an urgency standpoint, if we move forward, it's going to be a serious impact to the residents. Our cost per thousand to the residents right now is about $3, and this would essentially double it. And if we can get any type of funding, it's going to be impacted by what the rate structure is going to be after completion. And that only addresses construction costs, and that does not address operational expenses.
And so, is this a project that you're doing because you need to comply to some state or federal?
We're going to have to comply with phosphorus limitations.
And you've already been told that, or you just think you're going to have to?
No, we've been told that.
Okay. And do you have a date when you have to be in compliance by?
10.
The Minnesota River phosphorus limits are already in effect, but they are increasing every year. And so right now the facility is able to meet those limits, but by 2010 they will not be able to meet it without the phosphorus treatment.
Okay. And what happens if you don't meet them because you weren't able to get money, for example?
If they have not...
I suppose we'd have a discussion with PCA and try and mediate it.
Okay.
Yes, we can. I'm sure that they would penalize us in some fashion.
Okay. Because we're trying our best to get as many of these wastewater treatment. This is the year to do it, I think, based on the federal stimulus money and the Clean Water Legacy Amendment. I think we're going to be able to do a lot of this stuff, but this is the kind of stuff that we want to get done. So you're sure it's going to be shovel-ready?
by the end of the summer.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, what we've done is we've addressed our infrastructure, the underground piping system, with over the last 4 to 5 years with with repairs, cured-in-place piping, sleeving, if you will. So we've taken that approach, and now we have to get to the facility in order to we've removed essentially most of the INI. And what happens is because the Minnesota River is designated as a it's in here some places as a impaired water as of 1984, the discharge of phosphorus into that river is regulated. Right now, in order for us to comply with our phosphorus discharges, we have to buy Jordan trading units from the city of Norwood, and that's how we comply right now. That's part of phase one of PCA's implementation of the phosphorus limits, and once that phase one expires, which is the 2010, then maybe another set of standards would creep in. Maybe those trading unit opportunities will go away. We just don't know.
Okay. Any questions for the committee? Okay. All right, Senator Kubley, then we'll lay this over for possible recommendation to the bonding committee. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Appreciate it.
Senator Lynch. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm here today with Senate File 75. We are seeking money for a new steam line from Olmsted Waste to Energy Facility to Rochester Community and Technical College.
Excuse me one second, Senator Lynch. Members, there's a copy of this presentation in color in your folders, and you might have a black and white one also, but the colored one is the one that we want you to be looking at. Looks like this.
Over Rochester.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, pertinent to your discussion, I am pleased to advise the committee that our project is ready. Our shovels are ready to go into the ground in July. And I am excited for you to hear about this project because there are benefits to the Minsky system, benefits to the county, and benefits to the state. And with me today, Mr. Chair, I have two individuals from Olmsted County, and I would like to defer to them.
John, who wants to go first? Say your name for the record, please.
David Perkins, Olmsted County Commissioner in Olmsted County, and I'm going to have John start the presentation off, and then I'll follow up with some other comments.
Mr. Helmers.
Okay. My name is John Helmers. I'm the Solid Waste Manager for Olmsted County, and I'd like to direct your attention
Mr.
to
Mr. Helmers, can you just one second? If people have their cell phones on, can you turn them off because we're getting buzzes in the microphone system here, and normally it's from somebody's cell phone being turned on. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I'd like to direct your attention to the colored handout. This is a project to put a steam line and a condensate return line approximately a mile and a quarter from our existing waste energy facility over to the Minsky campus, which serves Winona and Winona State University and Rochester Community Technical College. They have existing buildings that are ready to hook up to the steam energy. We have an existing waste energy facility that's been in operation for over 21 years, providing clean, sustainable energy to 26 buildings in the city of Rochester and immediately surrounding the facility. We are currently expanding that facility. We're doubling the capacity from 200 tons per day to 400 tons per day, and we will have additional steam that will be available for selling in approximately a year. We see this as a win-win situation for Minsky State and County in that the steam energy is more stable and cost appropriate, and it will be replacing fossil fuels, namely coal and electricity, and provide a steam sale for the county that is of a higher value than what we can get just selling it as electricity. We have predicated our plans to expand our facility to sell electricity from that energy, but we can easily sell it as steam as well. The second or third page in is the map that shows the location of the facility on the upper left. and the line passing through some property and over to the Rochester Community and Technical College campus and ending in the southern part. We have approximately $12,000 in the budget for this project, and that includes the design finalization. We've done the preliminary design, and if this is considered to be a viable project this year, we would go ahead and proceed with that design immediately. We wouldn't wait for a bonding bill to come into place, but we'd be prepped for it. And as Senator Lynch indicated, we'd be able to start construction this July is what we would anticipate.
Say that last one again. If there isn't the bonding bill, you're going to go ahead with it anyway?
Or? Well, we would do the design anyway. If we think it's a viable project to proceed with, we would go ahead and do the design. One thing I didn't point out is we're only asking for half of the cost. The county is planning on investing the other half of the project cost, or $6 million, into this project. And so we would upfront the design costs ourselves.
And we'll... the Rochester Community and Technical College have anything to do with the $6 million that you're asking for? That's all Olmsted County is all on that.
Correct.
Is Olmsted County people of bonding? Are you bonding for the other $6 million?
Correct. We plan on bonding ourselves, general obligation bonds for the other $6 million. And we have a bond that is being prepped right now for the remainder of our waste energy expansion. That we'll probably be selling that in April.
Okay, and you have started the design, or you have not, or what?
We started the preliminary design and picking the routes and sizing the pipe, and then we'll have to do the final design with all of the details.
And when would you do that, before you found out if you got this money, or would you wait to see if you got money before you do the design, or how would you handle that?
Well, we would proceed with the design because of the timing. It's one of those things that we can put on the shelf and just leave. We wouldn't have to actually construct it this year if it didn't look like we were going to get the funding this year.
Okay, but I need to know if you're going to dig a hole this summer.
We can, yes. If we get the funding, we can dig the hole this summer.
Okay. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, we Olmsted County is investing...
Commissioner, say your name again, please.
David Perkins, Olmsted County Commissioner. We've invested $86 million in our new... waste to energy third burner, and that will be coming online in January of 2010. We'll start up in 2009, but we really come online in 2010, and so we will have the steam to start providing the service to the college in the first quarter of next year when this project is completed.
Okay. All right. Big women working too. Any questions of the committee? Okay. Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, we anticipate, as Mr. Helmers indicated, that Olmsted County is going to go forward and get the design finalized because we have every confidence that these dollars are forthcoming. We also further anticipate that we can put 70 people to work on this project for an 8-month period of time.
I see you have a... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just, Mr. Chairman, I just put these people to work, but the memo just keeps saying men, 12 men, 36 men, 6 men. There's a lot of women laborers out there, too, so... Just an observation, Mr. Chairman.
Well, women, you know...
Oh, what?
It might be one of those new generic words you never
Mr.
know.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen duly noted.
It looks like a good project, Mr. Chairman, to me.
Are you trying to get green energy credits on this also? Is that what you're trying to do? Or is that just, you just threw the green project in there for fun?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we approached this bill last year with the idea that it's part of a green infrastructure system that we have. We view our integrated waste management system as very green and providing economic and environmental benefits. So that's where the green title came from. It's part of our system.
Are there green credits involved anywhere? How about payback? You know, how long for the county
Mr. Chairman, we're anticipating that if we invest the $6 million, it'd be about 8 years before we start net cash flowing on this project.
Okay.
Chairman?
Yes.
Just an observation. I mean, the city of St. Paul and some of the range cities have been doing this steam stuff for years, and it's environmentally friendly and works pretty well. But well, St. Paul, I think the capital's even connected now.
But isn't the difference here though, that you're doing it with your garbage dump?
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're using municipal solid waste to fire the boilers, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And we've been doing that for 21 years.
Yeah, we have a biomass project on the range where we're burning wood. And I don't know what St. Paul's doing. Yeah. Here,
they have wood and a few other copies. Basically wood in St. Paul, but it's right down off of Kellogg down there. I think it wraps all the way up around here.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I didn't get the answer to your question about the renewable energy credits. Is that available?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dibble, I'm not sure that they are available for this particular project. One of the problems that we have as a municipality is that we're not able to apply for most of those types of credits. They tend to be tax credits or something that you can sell. And waste energy is specifically excluded from selling those credits, per se.
Okay, any other questions of the senator or the witnesses? Okay, Senator Lynch, we'll lay this over for a possible recommendation to the bonding committee then. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
What do we got next? Okay, Senator Laura, are you around? There you are. Okay, all right. Step right up.
Members, we'll take Senate File 110 and Barnum Water Supply Bond. Bill, whenever you're ready.
Senator Laurie, which one do you want to take first?
We'll take Barnum first.
110, okay.
First off, I'll introduce Christopher Rousseau, Barnum City Engineer on contract, and Brett Collier, the Barnum Water Superintendent. This is for a second well in the city of Barnum, and it is truly shovel-ready. I mean, the design is done. It's ready to bid by next week, and construction will be completed by the end of this summer. This is a long-standing project that is really critical for the viability, public health, and safety of the people of Barnum, and they've been working on it for a very, very long time, and so we're hoping that that we're able to be a partner in this endeavor. With that, I'll turn it over to
Chris Rousseau, Barnum City Engineer. I'll start, and then I'll turn it over to Brett Collier for a couple of comments and stories on why this is exactly so importantly needed in the city of Barnum. Most cities have multiple sources of water to serve their municipal water systems. It's generally solid engineering practice, and certainly I would recommend that everyone have at least a second, oftentimes a third, good quality source of water for their community. There's a couple of reasons for that. The first is mechanical failure. If for some reason you have a problem with your well pump and you only have one well pump, that's a pretty real problem. You don't have water going to your water tower. The water continues to be used by your citizens, and when it's gone, you have nothing to drink and no fire protection. So it's a very real issue. In a lot of small cities, that problem is exacerbated because they cannot put a tremendous amount of water in the air and store it through Minnesota winter. It will freeze solid. So they have very limited amounts of storage that they're able to put up, regardless of how big a water tower they decide to build. So having a second well in a small community is essential to being able to provide water service to that community. Brett's going to have a story about that happened with an ice storm up in northern Minnesota 2 years ago. The second reason is wellhead protection and basically the health of that well. As most communities do in the state of Minnesota, it's a requirement by the Department of Health now, but they need to have wellhead protection planning in place that would provide for protection of that well in case it were to be contaminated. When you only have one well, the measures for doing that are are limited. You can't separate the two wells because you only have one, and you're very susceptible. If you have a problem with that well, that you need to maintain it for some reason, you don't have an option to take it offline for the very same reason as we talked about with mechanical failure. So it's very important. Senator Laurie indicated we are shovel-ready immediately. This project has been designed. It was started design back last summer. It's sitting there. We're awaiting a final letter from the Department of Health on the plan review, and it's ready to go to bid. Next week, we could be bidding this project. We could have it under construction in early March, late March probably by the time we go through the bidding cycle. But we're immediately ready. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Brett to give you a couple of real examples. Brett is our utility superintendent. He's responsible for running the water and wastewater systems in the city of Barnum.
One second, Mr. Clark. Mr. Russo, what? So have you applied to the Public Facilities Authority for money?
Yes, we have. I see
you are asking for funds from the Public Facility Authority from the grant proceeds. And where are you on the list, do you know?
I believe we have a 12 ranking on the PPL list right now is what we were told before. I would have wanted to check that, but we got it from a good source here just a few minutes ago.
We'll get a real good source here. So.
Yeah, Mr. Chair,
Mr. Coleman.
For the record, again, my name is Chair Coleman. They do have 12 points, which is pretty high on the drinking water list. We don't have any cutoff on drinking water, but we've always funded 10 points and above and sometimes below. So they're in the fundable range. We are, I should say, working earlier today, working with the Corps of Engineers as well. They're not sure how much money they're going to have this coming year. But we're trying to find some grant money for them, not just loans. So
and on the drinking water list, is one good or is 100 good? What's
on the drinking water?
Yeah.
Anything above 7 points we consider we need to fund.
So one is bad and a big number is good.
The higher the number, the worse the system is.
So, okay. So these guys have drinking water, but they need a well, and 12 is not bad.
Right. 12 needs to get done.
All right, interesting, they're one of the few bills today that doesn't have the word design or pre-design in the bill, so they must be ready to go. And so do you take that into consideration when you award the money?
We don't make the award until after we get as-bid costs, so we do that. But like I said, they're looking for some grant money in the drinking water program. It's really a revolving loan, so we're looking at other sources. I met with Corps today, and they're not sure how much money they're going to have. But it's kind of on the borderline, depending on how much they get. But it's something we'll look at, and something we'll look at with the steam money, drinking water as well.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Collier. Go ahead now.
My name is Brett Collier. I'm the public works supervisor for the city of Barnum, Minnesota. As Chris was mentioning, I had a couple of stories I was going to relay to you. 2 years ago, we had an ice storm, and we lost power for approximately 8 to 10 hours. We have no redundant backup power to our well. So by the time the well kicked back on, it ran for almost a day trying to catch up. We'd had no fire support during that time. I was on the fire department at the time, so we would have had to mutual aid any water to our district as far as fire protection went. With this new well, there would be a backup generator on site. The other story I had to tell you was our current well, the manganese level is creeping up. We could rehabilitate this well if I had a way to take it offline. And as we were talking about cleaning the screen, kind of scouring it, going through it. But currently right now I have no ability to do that without taking the city out of water.
How does the backup generator relate to a new well?
The backup generator is part of...
Why don't you have a backup generator on the old well?
I don't have one.
I know, why don't you?
I don't know why.
Maybe Senator Laurie knows
it's, that. It, Mr. Chair, it's part of the, it just never has been funded before. They've never been able to get one going. It's part of the package for the new well, the number two well. It's, they've been working on this for a very long time, and And it is a really core service that that Barnum needs to be able to provide for its citizens.
How did Chisholm and Barnum do in football this year? I'm trying to, I can't remember.
Bombers?
Bombers?
I'm a Moose Lake grad. We're not going to talk about that. I don't mean it.
Senator Dibble, who asked? Was it Senator Dibble or Senator Moose
Lake? Well, I just, I don't know how the football team did, but what's kind of scary to me is the thing goes down and there's a major fire. There's nothing. There's nothing. I mean, that's just popped into my mind here a little while ago. That's a very serious situation up there at Barnum.
Yeah, it's mutual aid from neighboring communities that would have to haul water. And, you know, I mean, we have a robust system of being able to do that, but it's several minutes additional per drive, and it's a core public health and a public safety concern.
Where was that big fire? It was just south of you guys last summer, right?
Carlton had a big fire right in the middle of the city.
Yeah. Because I remember driving by on 35 smelling fire, and I was wondering what was going on over there.
Yeah, right by the third base bar there. The
right after the leftover. Was the bar saved?
The bar suffered some smoke damage. I think they kept serving.
So you were in that bar when it was burning?
Mr. Russo.
Mr. Chairman, I actually live in the community of Carlton, and there's no worse fear than when you turn on the faucet in the morning after you get out of the off the treadmill and the water doesn't come out. So that's not a good feeling. So they used all their water to fight that fire.
They did.
They had.
And that's what happened? They used all the water and then there was this?
They used everything they had. They used the clear well, and they had to shut down the system for about 15 minutes. So.
And you couldn't take a shower?
Yeah. I went up there to help.
You go right over to the casino and get that.
It is a very core public service.
Well, you know, this is the kind of stuff we deal with in rural Minnesota that sometimes our city slicker friends don't understand. So it's good that you guys come in.
I'm very sympathetic.
I know. I know. And so that's why it's really good to have these presentations.
Because half the time our electricity shut off, right?
Senator Dibble.
Our water smells really bad sometimes.
Does it? Yeah. Do you get it from the Mississippi?
Yep.
Yeah, that might have something to do with it. Okay. Any other questions, seriously, of this is a very serious project, and didn't mean to make light of it, but this is one that second you got the money, you'd be digging the hole, right?
Oh, we're ready to dig the hole and get that.
Okay. Well, all right. No further comments or questions, then we'll lay this over for possible recommendation to the bonding committee. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Lohr, you got another one?
Yeah.
It's that way.
We got a similar one for
share some of that money with other people, instead of getting the whole darn thing. You can't have it all up there.
Never know.
Because people are likely to join up on the detail of what they're taking.
We've got Senate File 112, which is another secondary well to serve the city of Renshaw this time. Not too far from Carlton. And really, it's a set of similar issues at stake. So, I mean, I'll turn it over to I've got Mayor Mark Hyland here and Terry Trude, the chair of the board of Renshaw, both would like to make some comments about this particular project. But again, it's ready to bid in April. Construction would be final by October. It is, you know, we really took you seriously at your shovel ready. And these ones are ready to go and they would be complete. And it is, again, core public health and public safety issues at stake when a community doesn't have a secondary well. It's, again, one that the community has been working on for a very, very long time. They're not just coming forward because they think there might be funding ready right now. This is something that really does have to get done.
So, Senator Lohr, the design word in this one is not as important as it seems to be?
The design word, I noticed that was in there too, and no, the design is really done. I mean, it's ready to bid.
It's already been bid once.
Would you fellas feel comfortable if we made a motion to take the word design out of there and just say for construction? or do you need to leave it in there?
Appropriated from the
Mr. Chairman, I'm Mayor Mike Hyland, and the answer is yes, we would.
Okay, then Senator Sparks will move on line 1.8 to delete design and so it should say authority for a grant to the City of Renshaw for construction of improvements to the water system. I'm only doing that because if you're ready to go and you don't need any design money, it might look a little bit different to somebody who looks at it and says, do we want to give them the money or not? So, okay, so all in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. Okay, Senator Loy, who wants to go first? Mayor?
Sure.
Mayor? Mr. Chairman, my name is Michael Hyland. I'm the mayor of the City of Renshaw. I would like to thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, for this opportunity to speak on behalf of the City of Renshaw. We have a very serious need. And what I'm going to do, and this is the way I like to speak, I'm going to go through this. I have my outline so I can get to the point. Okay? And
just give us your all.
Okay? I will not speak about the Renshaw Wrens and our girls' basketball team.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't have to worry about the football game either.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We, paramountly, we need dollar bills for this well. And you'll find out why as I go. A little bit about our city, very quickly. We're located 20 miles south and west of the city of Duluth. Population of approximately 400 people. A school district of 380 students. We have a store, a gas station, a restaurant, bar, two churches, and very close to Magellan Oil Company, which is in our city limits.
Wait, let me stop you right there. You have more churches than bars?
Yes, that is
very
true.
They're on the right true. Side of things.
Senator, that is very true.
You
My land
able,
use will be
you
asked
should be
true.
Able to will this one in. Anyway, go ahead.
We have three housing developments, all of which are planned unit developments, which have gone through zoning. We have the potential room for an additional 166 new homes. We have 120 homes within our city, in addition to those businesses. We have an industrial park, which houses a construction firm for home construction. We have room on an industrial development for at least three more industries. We have commercial land for stores. We're in our comprehensive plan, which we have worked very diligently on. We were looking at the possibility of a farmer's market. We are a farming community. So a year ago, we completed our comprehensive plan. We have completed, we were one of the first communities in the state of Minnesota to finish its wellhead protection plan. We have a capital improvement plan, and within that capital improvement plan, we have cited in that capital improvement plan the need for this new well. We have a water tower which was constructed in 2006. We have put out on bonding $1.2 million for that water tower. Our people in our community, we cannot afford anymore. We cannot grow because our 5-inch well will not fill our 100,000-gallon new water tower to a capacity to take care of fire for our school district. In communicating with our fire chief and trying to meet standards through firefighting standards, we could, with a sprinkler system running in the school system and with the hoses to put out a blaze, we could go for about 20 minutes and we would exasperate the amount of water in that tower, thus collapsing not only fire hoses but possibly water lines. Our growth is dependent upon a new well. We're looking for a 12-inch double casing well that will be our number one well. We would use the existing well as a backup. We cannot grow. We're stuck. We did, as Mr. Trude, city councilor, stated, we did put this out on bids in October of last year. We have spent $30,000 of money, of city money, residents' money, to get this plan ready to go. We put this out on bids, and a bid came in at $350,000. We had to vote no because we could not figure out where to get this money from. This city of Renshaw has always been a city which has never had deficit spending. We've always been a solvent city, a slow-growing city, and that's been the people's request, to grow at a rate which we can handle. Right now, we cannot grow any further without, we just can't get the water flow through our pumping system from that 5-inch casing to get enough water in that tower to handle what we need. I'm here representing the people of Renshaw. We have never received a grant from the state of Minnesota or the federal government for help. I'm here to say we need you. We need President Obama's stimulus package. We need your help. And I really sincerely thank you, Mr. Chair, and I thank you to the committee for listening. And at this time, I would like to open it for questions. Mr. Trude, do you have anything to add for you?
I could share something.
Mr. Trude.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Terry Trude, council member of the city of Renshaw. And I would just really like to emphasize the fact that this is not a want, this is a necessity. It's not only shovel ready, but we have to do something as soon as possible to take care of the needs of our city. I might add that the well that we are depending on right now with this 5-inch casing is sufficient to handle one resident house normally, but we're using it for a whole city. And if we pump more than 40 gallons a minute out of that well, we pump air, and we pump air into the system. So we're limited not only to one well, but to how much we can pump out of that well on a minute basis. So we are in desperate need. In fact, the well is beginning to calcify and fail on us. We've tried to put bigger pumps in. We've tried to develop that well further, but we cannot. So right now, we have to abandon that well eventually. And we've also had to abandon some backup wells because of pollution. Another one we had to abandon because it was just bad water to start with and would cost too much to treat. So at this point, we really desperately need a well. As the mayor mentioned, if we had a major fire in the school, we would not be able to resupply the water that would be needed to finish that fire. So it really is a hazard to the community not to have this well. So we have to do something. But our problem really is a financial problem. We're already bonded to the hilt. You could imagine having a population of 400 people and having a $1.2 million debt already to be taken care of. It's hard for us to find another $380,000 in order to do what we need to do, but we're going to have to do something. And I believe this project is not only shovel-ready, I know it is, but I also believe it'll be a project that will really help the economy get going, which is really what I'd like to see the stimulus package used for. This problem came up, and all of our planning came up before the stimulus package was ever dreamed of or ever needed, but we're definitely ready to do our part to try to stimulate the economy, and we definitely have a need here that's going to be an ongoing, honest solution for the people of the state of Minnesota, especially for our area. We also have a fire contract. We have a fire hall that six other communities depend upon. So we have other people depending upon us, as well as the mayor mentioned, the school. We've got almost as many kids in the school as we do in the city. So a lot of other people depend upon our water supply. The other thing I might mention is that we have the possibility of having a United States Vet Cemetery next to the town. They've also asked if they could hook up to our water supply. We'll have the water if we have a good well. If we don't have that well, we'll be unable to comply with that need. Thank you.
Senator Pariseau.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry I missed your name because I was...
Terry.
Thank you. How long would it take for the well to be done should you have the money in hand?
Well, we're ready to go as soon as we can get the money.
By October, it would be in and operating.
Yeah. We've already gone through a bid process once. The lowest bid we had was somewhere around $353,000. We just didn't have the money to accept the bid, or we would have been forced to do something by now. So we really need this in as soon as we can possibly do it.
I think I heard the mayor say something about 166 spots for homes. Is the wastewater treatment plant there for all of this?
Mr. Chairman, we are part of the Western Lake Sanitary District, and that's taken care of.
All right.
Yeah, okay. We're already part of that.
Okay. Senator Dibble.
Is Mr. Coleman here?
Yeah.
I wonder if we could hear
Mr.
from him.
Mr. Coleman.
Well. I was hiding behind the column, I see.
I like this on one knee thing. Senator Dibble.
We could get the similar report, what we know about the PFAS analysis and rating.
Renshaw is not on our drinking water list. They've applied, so they'll be on it effective July 1st when the 2010 list comes. I think they've had a history of doing things on their own by themselves over the years and kind of reflected that, so they never bothered. But they're going to get on the list, and I suspect, given everything we've heard, that they'll be right up there with everybody else. So yeah,
they'll be above seven. They'll be above seven. Huh? They'll be
never above. Good to have one well in a town and have one undersized.
So they'll be above seven.
I'm sure this will be a 10, 12 pointer too.
Okay.
I mean, Mr. Chair, I think one thing Chair Trude mentioned that should people should really clue in on the five inch well casing. I mean, I don't know. My home's, my house is an 8-inch well casing, for my one house. And I think that's what most of my neighbors have. I mean, 1 5-inch well casing for an entire city is pretty alarming, truthfully. It just is not going to have the volume.
You fired that engineer, didn't you?
That was done. On the way down, Mr. Chairman, I looked. That well has been there since 1930.
Oh, so they had a problem back then too. Okay, with money.
Project. That engineer's been taken care of.
Laid to rest.
Senator Laurie, do you have somebody
else? It's a
wonderful
ceremony too.
Do you have somebody else with you that wants to testify?
No, I don't.
No?
I mean, I don't think so.
You guys are all set. No, okay. Is that you? No. Okay. All right.
There's
okay.
A any backup
any other? That. Any other questions? Okay. If not, Senator Laurie, we'll lay this over for possible inclusion in a recommendation to the bonding committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Kubler, you're up again.
Do it from your chair here.
Kubler, better chair.
Oh, money's asking for today.
Kubler at the top.
We're going to rearrange the furniture a little bit here, Mr. Chair.
Okay, that's fine. Which bill do you want to do first, Senator Kubley?
I think we'll do Senate File 202 first.
Okay. Senator Kubley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill is for the City of Montevideo, looking at their wastewater structure. They are on the PFA list, and they're moving forward. I think we've got Steve Jones, the city administrator, with us, as well as a couple of other people, and we'll turn it over to him and let him tell you a little bit about the project, and then the other people will give some comments and set for questions.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Senator Tomasoni. My name is Steve Jones. I'm the city manager for the City of Montevideo, and our story is kind of simple. I think you have a copy of the handout. We are ready to go. This was actually bid on February 12th. We expect to hopefully award it in March sometime, so we could expect start April or May. So we'd certainly invite you out with the shovel if you would like to help turn over dirt. We're ready to go. I think the story about our plant basically is we're under mandates from the state, basically for our TMDL to clean up the phosphorus. We have to lower the amount of phosphorus from our wastewater plant from 6.5 milligram per liter, excuse me, down to 2.5 by 2010 and down to 1 by 2015. So we are under requirements now to do that, and we do plan to meet those requirements. I think the story is basically for us what this is going to cost us. Our original estimate was $17 million for this project. You do have a copy on page 3 of the breakdown of cost. The good story is in our bids, we did receive bids approximately $2 million under that, so we should be able to do this plant for around $15 million. But if you look at that one page where it talks about the expected impact on our sewer rates, this is really our concern. We've tried to show you some examples of what will happen on just the sewer rate portion to our public. And for a small family, it uses 500 cubic feet of water. Just the sewer rate portion will go from 1453 to 3735. And again, that goes up. If you have a large family, the rate would go from 2631 to 5470. But there's also a severe economic impact besides that. We've shown you an example there. We have a large industry in town, Genio Turkey Store. It has about 350 employees, very important for us. Right now, they pay the city about $150,000 a year in sewer charges. With our new treatment plant, their fee will go up to over $500,000 a year. They have told us at this cost, we will lose product and we will lose employees. So I guess our hope is we're ready to go. If there could be anything we could do to help mitigate some of the cost, as you can see, we would like to try to bring the cost down for our citizens and one of our major employers.
Pretty serious. Okay. Do you need the design word in the bill?
No, we don't. Design is completed.
Okay, so we're going to have Senator Sparks move to delete design and on page 1.7 of this bill also. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I oppose the motion to adopt it. And you've applied to the PFA. Those are pretty serious figures. Mr. Coleman, are we doing any more grant money this year than we normally did in the past to try to mitigate some of the costs that are going to be incurred by the communities? We're giving you a chair this time. Yeah. That's good.
Mr. Chairman, our grant programs were really designed for very small communities, trying to keep them affordable.
Okay.
And there are some grant programs that we can get some money into this, but relatively small amounts. I think the phosphorus grant has a $500,000 cap on it, that they would qualify for that. With some the stimulus funding, we're not sure where that's at. We're shooting for 1.4% median household income and covering 80% of the cost over that. Might be able to, depending on the cost, get around $1 million, $1.3 million in rough calculations, but we haven't seen all the numbers yet in-house.
Will you need any legislative changes to do any of this?
Yes, we've got a bill going through the administrative process now. Should hopefully be here
soon.
This week or next.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, soon.
Okay. And then anybody who is where are they on the list?
The exact ranking's not sure. They're on the intended use plan. We intended to fund them this year. They bid the project, ready to go. They're just looking for what kind of grants they can get to underwrite the cost and get a little more affordable, as they mentioned. And we're doing the same thing, looking at what we can do, help them out.
So if they go forward with this timeline that they're talking about, breaking ground in March, based on the current financial outlook on this particular project, will there be money available for them, possible grant money that they could tap into later on, or is this something that once it's done, it's done?
Hopefully by the end of session with the Clean Water funding sales tax, we'll be able to fund those ones. Because that would, how do I say it? That'd be an ongoing project. It wouldn't be reimbursing, and it's not bond proceeds, so we could fund them with that program once it's money's appropriated to it. We're ready to go as far as the loan program goes, and as far as the stimulus, you know, once that legislation's passed and EPA makes the award, they've got 30 days from the date they sign, the president signed the bill, to make the awards to the state. So it's we should be ready to go in a month.
Okay.
On this, and then as funds become available later, we can provide some more assistance.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions of Mr. Coleman? Thank you, Terry. Who would like to make the next comments? Are you?
We are just here to answer questions of someone else.
Okay.
We have our engineer and our wastewater superintendent.
Why don't you tell me their names?
Byron Hyunga is our utility superintendent, and Tracy Ekeles with SEH Engineering is our primary engineer on the project.
Okay. Tracy, you have nothing to say, right? Because this one's all ready to go. You've done everything on this one.
This one's all ready to go.
Okay, all right. Okay, and would you like to say anything, sir?
No.
Okay. All right, any questions from the committee? Okay, all right. Then Senator Quigley, thank you. I'm not sure we should even lay this one over because it sounds like you're getting the money already anyway, right? Terry?
Yeah, we're ready to go. It's, obviously, they would love more grant money, but we're ready for it.
All right, I'll lay it over for possible inclusion in case something comes up, but it seems to me that you probably are going to get this money regardless. So we'll lay it over for possible inclusion and a recommendation to the bonding committee. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Kubler, you got another one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That pretty map we have in front of us now?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chair.
Okay, right.
It's a map of the project area of the city that this this water project would actually be encompassing. So it's a fairly substantial piece of the city of Olivia. It's a city of about 2,800.
We hope.
In that area. So my district, like yours, Mr. Chair, has been losing people since the last census, and sometimes that's kind of hard to track.
Did you have to expand geography-wise in order to make your district whole? Because my district got way bigger on the sides.
Yeah, well, mine was a district that didn't have an incumbent, and there were three other Senate districts that went into the formation of it. But the way it's gone, I'll probably actually lose more people than you do, Mr. Chair, so it's going to have to expand.
Think this project will get any people to move in? You don't have to answer.
Well,
okay.
We're always looking for that, Mr. Chair. But well, anyway, this bill is for the city of Olivia. They've been talking about and working on this project for some time as well. I think Bob Ehlers is with me, who works for the city as their city administrator, and I'll let him introduce his engineer and tell you about the project.
Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the committee.
With me today is David Palm, our consulting engineer. I was acting city administrator for a while, but my primary purpose is the economic development director for the city of Olivia.
Say your name for the record, Bob.
My name is Bob Ehlers, economic development director for the city of Olivia. One of the things that we have about $12 million worth of work to do that's in conjunction with the storm sewer project that we're talking about here. We're asking the city, we're asking the committee to include us for $2.288 million to help with the actual storm sewer piece of that. That's about 18% of the overall project cost. Last year, we did about $2.5 million worth of improvements to get ready for the major expansion of our storm sewer system. We have a lot of inflow. When we go in and redo the piping for the storm sewer, it means taking out and replacing water main and sewer main and redoing the streets. Since 1997, the city has done well over $9 million in improvements to the community. So it's an ongoing project, and we continue to do this to make improvements, to make a viable community so we can bring more residents in so Gary doesn't have to increase the size of his district very much.
Mm. That'd be good.
So the project, and I'll let David talk a little bit about what's been done. This is primarily focusing on the city of Olivia, but it also focuses on the Bold School District as a fee payer in the community. There's three communities that are part of that district, Bird Island, Olivia, and Lake Lillian. About 127,000 overall acres that are in the school district, which would, again, be benefited by grant money to help with this storm sewer project. Over 80% of the overall cost will be paid by residents and businesses within the community. I think the other important part of this is that it's taking care of inflow. Last 2 years ago, we took care of our sulfur issue, or our phosphorus issue, by financing with some cash flow that we had through our wastewater treatment plant. But it also, with the ponding, will have a major impact on the Minnesota River watershed, because now we'll be able to do ponding, removing the silt, and essentially improving the water quality before it goes into the ditch and onto the Minnesota River. With that, I'd like to turn over to David Palm, please.
Mr. Palm, welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon. I'm David Palm with Bolton Mink Engineers. I've been working with the city of Olivia since 1992. Prior to that, a couple years before that, I have with me a storm sewer study report from 1991, which was the same area. Back then, they were considering doing a project down in this area because of flooding. As you can see on the map, the areas outlined in red show the areas that were flooding. It got tabled back then for lack of funding. In November 2006, we did an update or another full report looking at various options to relieve this storm sewer. What happens in those areas is the storm sewer comes from 400 acres. You can see the outline of the watershed on the map. 400 acres comes through the heart of town or through the southwest corner of town and floods in residential areas. So the water floods. It backs up in the basements. It inundates the sanitary sewer pipes also and causes bypasses of the sanitary system, which the city's got to report to the MPCA. This project has been thought about for many years, 15 to 20 years, and only now the city council has started taking steps to actively build this thing. In 2008, and a carryover to next year, they took the first step, phase one, as you can see on the map here in green, was by the school district. They did quite a few blocks of storm sewer around the school. And also we did a piece by the highway, which included the MnDOT district from Wilmer to take watershed from the highway ditches in that area and the streets and eventually take it into the storm sewer and an outlet. Right now it just goes through a 10-inch tile system and it ponds next to some apartments and some residential properties about where this pond is. So we're just going to take where nature takes it, and but it floods because there's not enough room and handle this stormwater and therefore prevent backups and damages to the community. The benefactors of this project would obviously be the City of Olivia, MnDOT. We've got MnDOT on board with cooperative agreement setups when funding is available to pay for about 17% of the project, a storm sewer portion of the project. County ditch system, as we all know in rural Minnesota, we got a lot of county ditches. Some of the rural drainage comes right through town, gets backed up, and therefore floods out their crops. So the county ditch system would be improved. The adjacent farmers would see the benefits. The local school district, which is Bold, and then ultimately the Minnesota River Valley watershed. Everything from here flows to the county ditch and then eventually right to the Minnesota River. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Senator Kubley and Bob.
So, Mr. Palm, where are we in regards to pre-design and design?
We are still, we've got the preliminary designs done, but by, like a couple individuals mentioned, by July we would be ready to bid if we got the funding.
But I'm getting the feeling you want to leave those words in.
We would have to leave it in.
Okay.
Yep, leave the design in.
Okay. And if you were awarded the money, you could start digging when, do you think?
It'd be bid ready by July, and for by August, September, the construction.
All right. And have you have applied to the Public Facilities Authority, I take it?
We officially have not, because up till now, storm sewer's kind of been on the back burners of the PFA. But with the inclusion of sanitary benefits here, maybe we could talk them into it. But we have not applied.
Mr. Kuhlman, can we talk about this one, too?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, committee members, at this time, I'm not sure we can finance this project with Clean Water Revolving Fund. You know, eventually, as TMDLs get completed, we may on the Minnesota River. Right now, we're at this at the stage. There's just no way to rank it.
So you'd need more information. You need a formal application in order to be able to rate it, or
we've just started doing stormwater, made it eligible last year or 2 years ago when we amended our rules and statutes regarding stormwater in relationship to TMDL studies. Now, that area, we've done some TMDL work on phosphorus and fecal coliform, but not on items that would trigger stormwater getting put on a list. So we're probably 5-6 years away from this project with a revolving loan fund.
Well, this is pretty impressive. They're only asking for 20. I mean, they're putting in 80%, so I mean that's pretty impressive, actually. But
if it was sanitary sewer, we could do it today.
Can you guys change the name on this thing? Or?
but stormwater, we tie it to specifically to, you know, TMDL implementation study. Once a city's been designated and the amount of pollutants targeted that they have to reduce from the stormwater system. And we're not at that stage yet on the Minnesota River.
Do we do this just on straight bonding projects then?
This one would have to be done straight appropriation.
Okay.
Legislature.
Should we take your name out of the bill?
It could go to the Public Facilities Authority or any other state agency you wanted to do it. But I mean we're capable of administering the contract that way.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea that we leave you in there then. Senator Dibble?
Sure, I just want to know who lives on Corn and Bean Street.
Is that an ugly spot? Where
that is one of the research. Seed companies.
Okay.
Run up.
I got Bean Road, Lakeland Bean Road next to it. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, members, Bill Dunn from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. I'm the Clean Water Revolving Fund Coordinator. Sometimes when projects come in and they sound like a stormwater project, if there's significant INI reduction, which I did hear part of Mr. Palm's presentation, might be worth the agency having a conversation, taking a look at that project and seeing whether it does meet a stormwater or a wastewater, not a stormwater.
And then what are your capabilities?
We'd rank it up, and if they made application on the 2010 PPL, and we'd see how that would rank as a wastewater project, not a stormwater.
Okay.
We have this on. Sometimes it could go either way, but it may be advantageous to score it as a wastewater project.
And if Senator Kubley can talk Senator Langseth into funding this, then would you help these guys with the whatever they need to do to get it done, or how would that work?
Well, if it's a wastewater project, it would be included within the permit that the wastewater facility has, so we'd be involved from that aspect.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, anybody? Okay, you guys should probably have a conversation with him if you haven't already. And, and then Senator Kubley, we'll lay this over for possible inclusion and a recommendation to Senator Langseth. And I think the stimulus package, the federal stimulus package, could fit in here somewhere. But like I said earlier, we're not exactly sure where the federal stimulus package fits in just yet. But we got a funny feeling we're going to be able to use it in a lot of places that we haven't been able to fund in the past because we didn't have the money. So, so we'll keep this in mind. Okay, thank you all very
much.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Cap, next meeting.
Mr. Chair, next meeting is on Wednesday. We are going to be hearing from the Department of OSHA regarding how they investigate infractions and also looking at some allegations of misconduct at the Department of OSHA.
Okay.
And on Monday, Mr. Chair, we are going to be taking a tour in Senator Ortman's district, and I think we've moved the departure time up from 3 to 2:30, I believe, so in an effort to try to get people back earlier.
And for the committee members, we have a bus leaving at 2:30. We'll be back. It's on Monday.
The second.
Next.
Do you live out there somewhere, Senator Parasol? Where do you live?
Southern Dakota.
You don't live over by
Farmington.
Huh?
She's from
South.
But would you drive your own car if you were to come on this, or would you come on the bus?
Not all the way. I'd come here to get the bus.
Okay. All right. Because I'm just
debating whether I need to buy a new car this year.
Well,
say no. Say no.
Wear this one out then.
We all say yes.
Then you get to kick in.
Say yes. What I was going to say is just let Cap know if you're planning on coming in. Senator Dibble?
Chair, we might have a conflict.
Well, that's why we're trying to leave at 2:30 so we can maybe get back here.
Oh, Senator. I see. Okay.
All right. And like if you wanted to drive your car so you could leave anytime you want to, that'd be fine too.
Okay. I've got a hybrid, Mr.
You got what?
I've got a hybrid.
So. You have hybrids? Oh,
hybrid,
well, maybe.
Hybrid, no, Ford?
Which one?
Escape.
How do you like it?
It's great.
Yeah.
Good gas
mileage. How many miles to the gallon do you
get? Over 30.
See, I get 35 on my Malibu, you know. It's not even a hybrid.
Malibu?
Malibu, yeah. But yours is an SUV, right?
Malibu or
yeah, okay. All right. Okay, meeting adjourned.